Welcome back to The Record from KUOW. I'm Jeannie Yandel in for Bill Radke. Now, if you could send any human creation out into the universe, what would it be? This was the question NASA scientists asked themselves in 1977. And with the help of Carl Sagan, a science writer, a record producer, they put a whole bunch of messages in different languages, sounds of nature, music, music like this. That, ladies and gentlemen, is Chuck Berry, one of the musicians who made it onto what's called the Golden Record. 8 copies of the so-called Golden Record were made, 2 went into space, and scientists hoped someone or something out in the universe might find one and listen to it or de-encode it, see what was on there. Joe Janes considers the Golden Record to be one of the most important letters in history. He's an associate professor at the University of Washington and the host of the podcast Documents That Changed the World. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
So how did the Golden Record Project even come about? It sounds really improbable.
It sounds really improbable because it kind of just happened. This is one of those, hey, we're going to send probes out into space. Hey, maybe while we're doing that, there was actually a tradition. There had been a couple of probes sent. The Pioneer probes had been sent a few years before, and it had a plaque. That's the plaque with the naked man and woman on it, which people were all bent out of shape about in the early 70s. So they're going to send more probes out to explore all the outer planets and then shoot off into space. And it appears to be people just thought, hey, we should stick something on the side of this thing. And the more they thought about it, the more elaborate it became. And then it became, we can send a record album. Oh, that means we could send music. Oh, that means we could send pictures. And then it just sort of went on from there.
Well, how did scientists put it together? How did they decide what got on the Golden Record and what didn't?
Well, that's yet another, hey, what do you think kind of thing. This wasn't official. This wasn't, you know, the head of NASA saying, okay, we're going to stick records on the side of this. You all go figure out what it is. It's a very Carl Sagan 1970s kind of idea. And for those of us who grew up watching and reading and listening to Carl Sagan, it's completely him. And he was the instigator behind it. He was head of the Planetary Society in the 70s, and he formed a group, a small group of scientists, even a couple of science fiction writers, some music experts, and so on. And it was all very happenstance, like, I don't know, what do you think? And, oh, we should have this, and, oh, we should have that, and we only have this much time, so we have to be really careful, and yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you're sort of describing it as this very loose sort of, what do you think about this song? What do you think about this? But they had less than 6 months. Like, they had a deadline.
Yeah.
So what kind of decisions did they have to make because of the deadline?
Yeah, there was actually, they wanted spoken greetings, and they approached the UN, which turned out to be a bad idea, but they approached the UN, and the UN said, well, we'd have to have a meeting about it, and the meeting's in June, but the rocket was going to be shot off in the summer before, and, you know, could you hold the launch for us to have this meeting? And yeah, that wasn't going to fly. So it was all very, okay, we got 6 months, we want to do this. They made the most of that. They made a lot of decisions on the fly. There was a lot of, hey, you know, I know somebody who knows somebody who knows about Indian music. Let's do that. Or, you know, let's get the people at the foreign language departments at Cornell to record the greetings because the UN is just more trouble than they're worth. It was lots of decisions like those.
Well, and I read a New Yorker piece by a science writer who helped Carl Sagan kind of pull some of these things together for the Golden Record. And he said that copyrights came into this as well. They wanted to use some music by the Beatles and, you know, there were issues there. There were just all kinds of weird permissions issues as well.
Yeah. The Beatles agreed to Here Comes the Sun, but the record company wouldn't. Here Comes the Sun, what better Beatles song would there be to send? I did love the fact that they did, once they chose the music and got the recordings, they did pay royalties for the records they fabricated to send into space. So the rights holders got several cents apiece for the records that are going to be, that have been sent out for all eternity, which has got to be one of the better copyright deals ever made. but a lot of stuff was they made the decisions they made because of what they could get. And they also were trying really, really hard to be representative. Sagan and a bunch of other people wrote a book afterwards that talked about the process, and they have maps of all the places where the music came from to show that it was all over the world, and countries that were represented by the spoken greetings, and it represented something like 90% of the human population. They were trying really hard to tell as big a story as they possibly could in the limited time and resources they had available. And, you know, people disagree, and, oh, why is there no Irish music? They discovered at the very end there was no Irish music, and Tip O'Neill was Speaker of the House, and apparently that was a problem, but it was too late. So there's no Irish music on the record. And there you go.
If my mother is listening to this, I apologize. There is no Irish music on the golden record.
And my grandfather.
Well, I think about what this record was for, or I guess, you know, these two copies of this record. And it's just extraordinarily slim odds, right? That one, there is extraterrestrial life. And two, that extraterrestrial life would find the record. And then three, they would be able to use the record, that they'd be able to play the record. I mean, did scientists really think that someone would find this?
They operated as though they did. But there's also a lot of evidence from the time they were doing it that the audience was in-house. This was for us. And the shooting it into space was almost secondary. I mean, that was clearly the point. There's lots of, well, it's highly unlikely this is ever going to be found because it's not shot in any particular direction. No exoplanets had yet been discovered, so they had no particular direction in which to shoot it. Plus, the point of the mission was to go around the planet, so it would, whatever direction it happened to go, as it shot around Neptune, that sort of thing. If it ever got found, the Star Trek movie, first Star Trek movie notwithstanding, we all know what in fact happens to Voyager from the first Star Trek movie. Would other beings even be able to perceive that there is a record on there and what it is, even though there's instructions on how to play it and there's a stylus and all the rest of it? It seems unimaginably unlikely that it would ever be intercepted and understood. And if it ever was, we'd never know it. Hopefully. There's all sorts of Twilight Zone to serve man aspects to this. And at least a couple people were concerned that we were giving away our position. So maybe this wasn't the best idea in the world, which I just think is, including the Astronomer Royal. Oh. Said, you really shouldn't do this.
Huh.
And Arthur C. Clarke said that the message that would put on it would be for future humans, in case any future humans found it. And the message should be, please leave me alone and let me go on. Because the point of this is to go on for all eternity.
I'm talking with Joe Janes. He's an associate professor at the University of Washington, host of the podcast Documents That Change the World. And you just listed off several kind of fascinating things about this golden record, what it was for, what it wasn't for, who thought it was a good idea, who didn't think it was a good idea. The records themselves were designed to be readable for a billion years, from what I understand. I mean, the fact that they were ever made is just amazing. What's the most fascinating thing to you about the golden record?
The fact that it even exists, what would we do today? This is a mid-1970s Carl Sagan idea.
Mm-hmm.
And who would step up today to do this? How would they do it? And what message would they send? If you read, for example, President Carter's message, he uses words like, if we survive, we are trying to survive our time to live into yours. This is 1977. Whoa. The Cold War is real. There are thousands of thermonuclear missiles headed at every major population center in North America. It is not at all certain we get out of 1977 or any of that. So it's not a huge leap to think back to. I mean, I lived through this. I was a teenager when these things were shot off. So what message would President Trump send on an interstellar mission that would leave today? We have a different kind of existential dread about the future of our planet for some of the same reasons and some different reasons. So a lot of things have changed since 1977. Many things, sadly, have not. But the fact that it even happened and that people thought about it and lots of really smart people of goodwill were willing to devote a lot of time and energy to make this thing happen. From picking what was going to go on, recording the greetings, making the records themselves. They were going to approach one record manufacturer and then discovered that they only had one track on the disc and maybe they weren't actually going to spend time making the physical thing. So they went to a different record company to make the physical discs to be sent. There were a lot of pieces in this and a lot of people said, oh, that sounds like a great idea. Let's do that. And it's just it's a great thought experiment to poke through. What would we do today? How would this be done today? It would be done very differently. It'd be crowdsourced. It'd be, this is the sort of thing that Elon Musk would do instead of Carl Sagan or right. Jeff Bezos. And you get a very different, if this was privately financed, if this was, primarily a commercial thing instead of a scientific thing. And the one, in researching this and looking at the records and the messages and so on, the lasting message that I get is one of hope, is that this is done. I think about these things in documentary forms. It's a mixtape, sure. It's a scrapbook. It's a love letter. It's all kinds of things. But it's a message in a bottle. And you only throw a message in a bottle in the ocean if you think you have no other choice. Or you don't ever think it's ever going to be found, but you want to tell the world something, but maybe you don't want to tell the world something. And so if it's a message in a bottle, that's desperation. This is hope. This is, we're going to get through this. We're going to have a future, and we want to be understood. We want to be remembered and understood, and that's one of the most basic of human things.
Is that why you think this golden record is such an important document? I mean, we're not talking about it necessarily because it's just such an interesting thing. You think it's an important document.
I do, and primarily for what it stands for. I mean, it's a time capsule of what people thought was interesting music in 1977. Almost entirely. Well, they tried really hard to represent the whole world, but as far as I can tell, there's no music written by women, for example. It's a lot of Bach. I have no argument with Bach. There's a lot of Bach. And the images are a little strange, but they're all kind of clip art, basically, or, stock footage kind of thing. And the one poor guy eating a grilled cheese sandwich across all of eternity.
Grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah, I think it's okay. Grilled cheese. It's hard to tell. Next to a woman eating a chicken leg. So I don't know which one you'd rather be. But it's just, it is such an expression of we have a story to tell. We always do. I think of this in very much the same way I think of the handprints you see on cave walls that we don't fully understand. I mean, nobody else is going to be able to make any sense out of those. We have stories to tell, and we want people to hear those stories, and we want to be remembered when it's all said and gone. When we go, the only thing that's left behind is the records we leave behind. Yeah. And this is the record we're all going to leave behind.
I only have about a minute left with you, but I want to know what you would put on a golden record. If you were asked to make one today, what would you put on it?
Yeah,
you're scratching your head.
God, these are terrible questions to which I don't have a good answer. I was surprised. So I do happen to be a classical music fan, and there's nothing from the planets, which I don't know. It doesn't even seem like they considered it. They thought of Mendelssohn. There's only one Mozart piece. There's only Queen of the Night. I think classical music tastes have changed over the last 40 years. I'd put Jupiter. Jupiter's my favorite movement of the planets. It's in a major key. Jupiter, the bringer of jollity. It's joyous. It's exuberant. It every time I hear it, I feel better. So if I wanted to send one thing out to the stars, I'd send them how Gustav Holst thought about Jupiter, and maybe make the aliens feel better for a little while.
Joe Janes, associate professor at the Information School at the University of Washington, host of the podcast Documents That Change the World. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Oh, thank you.
This has been The Record from KUOW. I'm Jeannie Yandel. See you back here tomorrow.